Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord and my Father, my Jesus, you found me. You called me by my name. I did not come in search of you. Lord, I thank you for all the love that you have shown to me. And when we meditate on the word, when we come to know each word is true, and the reason that you came to this earth, there was no other way. There is no other way, Lord. I would have been lost. What would have been my fate? What would have been many of our brethren sitting here? Lord, it is because of you I am not worthy. As my birthday tells me, I was a fool. I was considered as unworthy. Lord, but you considered me. Because the word is always true. I was wretched before you, but you called me. Lord, I thank you, Father, and gave the word unto me. I am not worthy. Lord, I am not worthy, Lord. Not because I am saying this in front of the people, but I am not worthy before you. But it's only your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that you have been doing in everyone's life the wonderful miracles, the salvation, Lord, and moreover, the resurrection, Father, that you have promised. We find the truth in you, and we stand by each, every word that you have spoken. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our meditation. Today is actually is the Good Friday. We call it a Good Friday. But the word says, yes, this was the day that the Lord has chosen. Probably this may not be the same day, but we celebrate this day. Christ suffered. And why did Christ suffer is a question which is giving the answer. We'll be going through three basic main headings, that is the depravity, the moral corruption of the fallen man, which was so deeply implanted. Mean to say that it was very much which we cannot take out from a fallen man. It was so deeply implanted. Man cannot do it. The second is, that is the reason why Jesus had to come and suffer on the cross. And then we will be looking at how severe was his suffering. And the reason why he suffered, all this will be looked into. As the Genesis says, Adam committed a sin by his free will. Basically, the free will was the reason that that God has given to all of us, including not only to Adam, all of us, that we are using that free will for doing only bad things because of the reason that we were in this fallen structure. This body is a fallen structure because this was not God's plan. Now, this is because of sin, the depravity has come into us. And then we see that Adam lost his relationship with God legally, then we see that he's lost the inheritance of God. And then we see that he's lost the glory of God. So in all the three ways, we see that Adam lost. Then when we lost all the three things, and when we have come to this fleshly structure, then the first thing is that we are not abiding unto God. We are always going against God, and we are finding means to make ourselves glorified as gods. So that is the sin that we are committing every moment. Not only Adam, we are doing it every moment. So for this reason that God had to, because we are using the free will like this, and God cannot take back the free will, God had to come and suffer so that there will be an inclination in us that would give us salvation, that would bring us back to God. So the legal separation, we will look at this particular point, the depravity, from three different sides, angles. One is the legal separation. Let us take that prodigal son story, which will be easy, or even Adam's story. Prodigal son story says, 15:12 says, the younger of them, he went out of the fathers, and he asked the share, the property to be divided. This is what is happening to all of us. When we sin and when we go out, we are getting separated from God. We are separated from God, and he goes to a far off place. He doesn't want to be anywhere near. So that shows that even us, when we are sinning, we are going out of the legal separation that happens when we are sinning. The legal separation is the important thing, that he is asking for rights, and then he is leaving. It is a crime, actually, to ask his share for the legal separation, but to exercise his free will even against his father in total disobedience to his father. In the same chapter 13th verse, he gathered everything and he left. Then to a different country where there is no more. A different country shows that he has left God's presence at all. So then we see the financial implication. The financial implication is that when he started spending his worth, whatever that was given by his father, he's righteously spending. That means even us, whatever God has given, even us, the love that is being given by God when you are married between the couples, when you trade it for your own lust and your own reasons, then what happens? You start blaming each other. Now, there was no blame game in the Garden of Eden. Now, that is the reason when nowadays the pastors call for a counseling. They always say that we have to hear from both the people. Why? Because you can't trust. One will be blaming the other. So, financial pauper or bankruptcy, there you don't have any credit because you have sold, you have traded everything that was given to you by God. When you were born, God gave many things. Now you see, we lost the glory of God. We read in Revelation that clothing is related to righteous deeds. And when you see in Adam, immediately when he sinned, he became naked. It was not the normal nakedness. It was the sin that made him naked. Now, to have the eyes of the flesh, to see that you are naked, before you were not naked. And then let's look at your righteousness, my righteousness. It's all dirty, shabby, dirty and shabby and foul smelling clothes. So then Adam. So this is the problem, that he enjoys the pleasures of the world, and then after that, under the bondage of sin, he has severed the legal relation, and then he has used righteously all the treasures that God has given. He is under the grip of the serpent, and he is under bondage, and the relationship with God cannot be established, as he is dead towards God, and all the humanity is supposed to stand before the judgment of God. So this is the depravity of us, that we are in this state. Now, when God saw that we are in this state, there is no other way that he could save us, because we are all hell bound. So there we see why Christ had to suffer and die. I have shown there three reasons. One is to showcase the love of God, to cancel the legal demand of law, and to absorb the wrath of God. Now all this, each points to showcase the love of God. There will be two, three points under, because there are many points why Jesus came. He was a mystery of God, and without him, God cannot bring us back because of our free will. The God has given us the free will. So because God has given us the free will, what we need to do? We have to seek God, which cannot happen. So that is the reason why Jesus came and suffered. Why he suffered so much is a question before many people. The reason why he suffered so much was because of our free will. Because you should turn back and say, oh, Jesus died for me. You know, now in each of your situations, in the normal case, you don't. But in each of your situations, you turn back and see why Jesus has had to suffer. Now, to showcase the first slide, we'll see, to showcase the deep love of God. There, it was God's plan. God's plan means it was predestined. In Ephesians 1:9, God's plan was to make everything in the heaven, under the water, everything into one. So it was God's plan in Christ. See, we are looking at each of these points, and then we will see why he had to suffer, what was the severity of the suffering. So we see that it was God's plan. In John 3:16, we know God so loved the world, that is the reason that he gave his only begotten son. Then in Romans 8:32 says that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us. God has given him, he has not spared his own son. So see his love. And Luke 19:10 says that the Son of Man has come back to seek and save that which was lost. So Jesus came down. Jesus, what do you read in Philippians chapter 2 from 6 to 8? Is that Jesus himself thought that it was not robbery to be equal to be with God. And he came down to the servanthood. We always think that servanthood is always, we are thinking that a master and a servant. No, it is not a master and a servant. That is because we are looking through our fleshly eyes. It is not master and servant. It is binded in love. Son and the Father is binded in love. Son can go down to whatever extent that the Father asks. So it is because of the love between the Trinity that we see that in Philippians 2, 6 to 8. Yeah, sister, if you can just put it. Yeah, so then we always see why, who killed Jesus? Many people say that it is the Roman soldiers, or you can say this Judas Iscariot, or many other reasons you can come up. But when you read the scriptures, you understand that God had a plan. God had a plan, and He was perfecting that plan. Acts 4:27 says, "In the city there were gathered together against your holy servant." This is Peter saying, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined. See here, your hand and your purpose predestined. So even when Abraham wanted to sacrifice the child, he was about to sacrifice the child, he lifted his hand. Immediately we see that God saying, stop. Why did God say? He said, I will provide. Because man cannot provide. Suppose if Abraham had sacrificed, imagine. We all will consider Abraham as God. We all. That is the reason God said no. God said, I will provide. I will provide. So so we see that it was God provided in Calvary, and we need not do any sacrifice for our salvation. So that was the first one, the love of God, that God Himself provided. Then we read that it was prophesied. It is prophesied. When we read Genesis 3:15, and I will put the enmity between thee and the woman. My question is, why woman? Why woman? Why it is mentioned as woman? And between thy seed and her seed. It was nothing but God is prophesying about thy seed and the seed of woman. That was Jesus. It was not mentioned that the seed of man, but it was mentioned the seed of woman. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bite his heel. The my translation is a little different. But it says that he will stamp on his head. He will stamp on his head, whereas the seed of the devil will bite his heel. So here we see that it was prophesied. Then again we see the prophecy. We see that in Psalms 20:22, the very first verse, the same word was cried out in Calvary. You can hear that word. It was written, prophesied here. You can hear that word only once. That was in Calvary. My God, why have you forsaken me? Then again, we see that again it proves that God planted in Isaiah 53:10. Yet it was the will of God to crush him and put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, that means again we see that God's plan, that he himself, that is only one way, only God can give himself for us, for the redemption of us, because it is so precious. Because it is so precious. Because who made it? God made it. In whose image? God's image. So when God's image, when he has brought, he has made it, no one can give a price. Only God can give a price. So, because then the third point is because the children were in flesh and blood. you know, you see this, when I was meditating over it, it touched me a lot. It touched me because Hebrews 2:10 says, "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings." God says, it was fitting that, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, that he had to make the captain of salvation perfect through suffering. That is Calvary. Perfect through suffering. Here, Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has tempted as we are, yet without sin." Doesn't it touch your heart? Doesn't it touch your heart? Because we do have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. In many times when we are weak, in Romans chapter 5:6 says, when we were weak, he came to us when we were weak. So we do that, that we in our weaknesses, but one who in every respect had been tempted as we are. So it was God's plan. See, when you understand all these things, Christ came is a reality in you. Once if it is not a reality, you will definitely, it is going to really, because we are living like an animal. The reason why we are living, the atheists say that they are intellectual, but they don't know for why they are living. They are living by their intellect. Even if you talk to the biggest researcher, he will say, we are like anyone like any other animal. So you see that in every respect, that it was for our weaknesses. Then the fourth one, to make known the righteousness of God. That was, Jesus came to showcase the righteousness of God. He says, I did not come to change the law. The law should be fulfilled. That is the reason I came. So he says the righteousness of God is not understood in the fleshly mind. There's a very huge gap between, Are you all audible there in the backside? Yeah, okay. All right. So the righteousness of God is never understood, because the righteousness of God says that God made Eve from your body, but you are not satisfied with that Eve. You want to have more. And they come, and the people come and ask, why can't we marry more than one? Moses has allowed. What do you say? So we are not bothered, or it is not enough that between an heavenly and the earthly standards, for us to understand what is God's understanding, because we run after our lust, we run after our imagination. So we are interested, because we are in the body. This is the lustful, the sinful nature. We want to do sin more and more. We cannot abstain from sin. This is the problem. So that is the reason that God came to this world. Cancel the legal demand of law. We'll just go to the next slide, sister. To cancel the legal demand of law. Now Christ fulfills the law. There we see in Romans 10:4 that Christ is the end of law. Christ is the end of law. Because everything is fulfilled in Christ. Why? Because of the law. The law is the biggest thing. That if you can love, there is no enmity. There is no enmity. So love is more than God is love. And if you don't love your brother, that means you are not born of God, the Bible says. So Christ is the end of law. We cannot come back to the standard of God. Now, Colossians 2, 13, 14 and 15. Colossians 2, 13 says, "And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." The 14th verse is important. "By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demand. What was the legal demand? The legal demand was that we should be judged. We should be judged. The legal demand, sin should be punished. That was the legal demand. And then we see that this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demand. So for that, Jesus had to come. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put to shame. Now, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, who all believed that those demands are canceled? Can you lift your hand? So many could not lift. So many could not lift. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, the reason that you came, Lord, is to give your life, the love that you exposed. Lord and my Father, I pray, Lord, many people did not raise their hands. Father, I pray that, Father, that you show forth. Father, let your glory be seen by them. You shown your glory to Peter, James, and John when you were in the mount. Lord and my Father, I pray that you will show that glory unto them. In Jesus' name. Let us raise your hand. I don't know whether you did not hear what I said. Can you raise the hands whose debts are canceled? Thank God. Thank God. Okay. So please listen, because there is huge number that did not raise and then they raised. That means you are not listening. I don't know. All right. So we see that. So to absorb the the next is that the change of covenant. The covenant was changed. The sacrifice on the cross, the covenant, not the Old Testament is changed to New Testament. It is the covenant. Please understand that it is the covenant that changed. The earlier it was by the blood. The covenant was by the blood of goats and calves. That was the covenant. That was the Mosaic law. That covenant that God did with man was with the blood of animals. But that is changed to now to the blood of God, who came in he left the godly being and came to the human being. And that blood, sinless blood, was accounted. That is the reason that there was a change in covenant. Who offered himself without spot. So Hebrews 9:12 says that he entered once and for all to the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, securing an eternal redemption. And lastly, it is the to absorb the wrath of God. Sins are committed against God. Whatever sins that we commit, that's all against God. And hence, only God can forgive. Only God can forgive. So there is no other way. Now, only God can. Now, when you read Romans chapter 5:10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Here, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were enemies, he reconciled to God. From that, there are many verses, but I want you to take that the wrath of God was not against us, not against Jesus. The wrath of God was against the sin. And for that sin, for that to be absorbed, he put all that I was supposed to. Suppose if I did not know God and I did not have this changed life, I was to be judged. So that judgment was put on Jesus. Put on Jesus means because why he was crucified? No reason. Pilate could not understand the reason. The people there could not impress upon Pilate. They said, we want to crucify only. But Pilate said, I don't see any issue with him. So we see that the wrath of God, when you see, the next is the freedom of will. The freedom of will is, again we have already mentioned that disobeying God, man has lost the image and likeness of God. Now he's a fleshly being. Now, when you read Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 2, 1, it very clearly says that we were all dead in trespasses and sin. And then we walked in the courts of this world. What a beautiful verse, courts of this world. Look at the people outside, courts of this world, following the prince of the power and air. Then the third verse says that we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. Desires of the body and mind. We were by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath. Now you are the children of God. Wrath is replaced by God. So now you are children of God. How did he do that? Because you had the freedom to do anything. You can even go and say that there is no God. If there is God, let him come and show me. Or let him, that is what Jesus also encountered. If there is a God, let him come and save him. God did not act to that. Because he understood, if I was there, I would have said that. But he understood my being. I am in flesh. Now, let us look into how severe was his suffering. There are three points with regard to the severity of the suffering. One is at Gethsemane, sister. One is at Gethsemane. Then the second one, Pilate had a soft corner, and the third one was the wrath of God against sin. And it is actually how it is mentioned that it was how much God is ready to go against sin, and how much God, how much man will use his free will against God. It was these two things were the reason for the suffering of Christ. It was how much God is ready to go against sin, and how much man will use his free will against God. So let us look at the second point. Let us look at Pilate, the governor who had a soft corner. His wife had a dream about Jesus, and he said, and she said that he was innocent, which she passed on to her husband. And Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. That was a exact thing. When Jesus, then Pilate said, who is now here? From where is he? So he thought about that, and they said he is from Galilee. So he said, Herod is there. Send him over there, so that Herod was a person, we read that he wanted to hear from Jesus. We read that, but Jesus never spoke anything there. Then he was sent back. He came back. The first plan was to send to Herod. And then after that, he came back. He came back to Pilate. Pilate again made the trial. And he found nothing. There was nothing, as they say, that he should be crucified. And he goes and tells them, I am sending it giving. He was given the slashes, the stripes that he had. He was sent, and he was taken, and he was bruised. The whole body was bruised, and he came back. And then Pilate is telling to the people, look at this person. Many people could not understand, because he was wearing a crown, and he suffered in his life, suffered that particular point. I don't know whether you know about it, that when your body is weak, and he is standing before, he says, "This is Jesus," and no one could understand that it was Jesus, because Pilate had to tell. Then Pilate says, "This was the second reason that Jesus." Pilate wanted to slash him and then let him go, but they said no. He says, "I don't see any sin in him that should be crucified." Then Pilate is asking the third option. The third option is, normally for the Passover, we used to give one person. We used to set one person free. And all the people said, he said, "It's Barabbas. I am going to let Jesus free instead of Barabbas." And everyone said, "We want Barabbas." Think about it. What is the reason that they said that we want Barabbas? We are all sinners. And sinners as a sinful nature cannot digest Christ. That was the wrath that Jesus was facing. That was the wrath, that was the suffering that he was facing. And they wanted Barabbas. And they said, in one sound, "We want Barabbas. We want Jesus to be crucified. Jesus to be crucified." Imagine why these people opted for a murderer. Murderer, the world hates God, hates Jesus. God, the world hates you and me if you are standing for the truth. But if we are not standing for the truth, it is comfortable. It's a comfortable life. So it is very, very important to note that the worldly system wants the murderers and those people who are totally criminals, but they cannot digest Christ or His word. We'll go to the first point, which is the Gethsemane, the human face of Jesus in the garden. Many people think that the road to the cross was so easy. It is not at all. The severity of the sufferings is the inclination that leads to our salvation. The sufferings of Christ that gives strength to our trials and sufferings of life. It is the trials of Jesus Christ that gives strength to our trials and sufferings. Because we understand that we read earlier, what did we read? We read that we have a high priest who can sympathize with me in our situations. In your situations, if you really cry out to God, God will answer. God will give you an answer. But if you are praying as a ritual prayer, God will not answer. God will answer because God is not going to change the whole situation. Not that God did not come down on earth and take away all those people who were standing to crucify Jesus Christ. But what did He do? He changed. The change was happening totally in that human form of Jesus Christ. In that human form of Jesus Christ. So we read that Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Overwhelmed. He was like us. He was exactly like us. The final journey to His death is pictured in His prayer. So that is the prayer that we are looking at. The Bible describes how an innocent man spent in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested. Jesus is referring to a cup, and he's referring to a cup in His prayer. And this is all bitterness, sufferings, and the will of God. The will of God. The will of God consists of everything. So if you ask what is in the cup, it was a will of God. Full of sufferings and bitterness. Now, Jesus prayed to His Father three times in the garden. We read that He fell face down and prayed. And Matthew 26:30-39, it says, "My Father, if it is possible that it is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not I will, but as you will." But as you will. There are two sides of this. We will discuss that. A little later, in the 42nd verse, He went again the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he goes and prays. Then these prayers sheds the light on how Jesus' heart was prior to the crucifixion. The cup that is referring is the suffering. Then when Jesus prays to His Father, "Let this cup be passed from me," He is expressing the natural man's desire to avoid pain. He was expressing the natural man's desire. That is why we can always align with him. Jesus is fully God, but He is fully human. His human nature still struggled to accept the torture and sufferings. So here, in the same context, the 41st verse says that, let this cup be passed from me. He was fighting against the desires of his flesh. You know, in Gethsemane, he was fighting. He was fighting with his flesh. He did not desire. He knows for what? Because he had the foreknowledge. He was teaching. But at the same time, he was, even in the 38th verse, we read that the struggle was so fierce, overwhelmed with sorrow. He wanted the support of James. He wanted the support of Peter, James. And he calls. He leaves all the other disciples, and he takes the three people, and he goes, and again he prays, if it is possible, has God a lot of qualifications. That was a real humble request to God to choose an alternative path. This was Jesus Christ in the bodily form. He was crying. He was like us. He had to feel the pain exactly like us. Exactly like us. Because otherwise we will always say that you are the Son of God. So then he had the foreknowledge. And then you see that if it is very easy, you can just open Isaiah chapter 53, and he will understand the whole thing, what is written about it. Or even Psalms 22. He understands, he knows what is written in the Word of God, and how that is giving more anguish in us, because he knows everything that is going to happen, and he has to, Father will crush him. What does it mean by crush? Is it by patting? It is crush means that his life will be out once the crushing is over. His life will be out of his body. So here, the torment was, you know, while I was meditating on this, I really felt that, God, really, I did not understand this kind of an understanding before. I felt really sorry. Each and every word supports what it is written, and it was for me. So again, Jesus was aware that God's plan for him to be crushed, not for him, he was to be pierced for our transgressions and wounded for our healings. Luke captures this in a totally different way. Luke says that while he was praying, the drops of sweat looked like blood. So in that garden, the humility was totally revealed. Let us all stand up. Let us all stand up and read Isaiah chapter 53, 3 to 7. He was despised and rejected by man, and man of sorrows. Can you all read that? Yeah. The 53:3. He was despised. For. Six. Seven. Eight.
Thank you. Please be seated. The Word of God, those who have read it with your heart, I thank God for them, because in that it is He, we mentioned that He was pierced for our transgressions. You read it. You read it. You read that it was pierced. Children, that you shouldn't be speaking there. Please. He was pierced for our transgressions, not others' transgressions. You read it. You read it. Now, then again, then it says that we are all turned, everyone, to his own way. This is happening even now. Even when we are dealing in certain transactions, we are selling Jesus. We are selling Jesus. Yes, the second part of the prayer, Jesus prays that, yet it is not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was committed to the will of God, body, mind, and soul. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus conquered the flesh and kept it in subjection to the Spirit. This is what I said. Jesus, God, changed his heart, and he was the first part. Is the human part. Now you see, he does the spiritual part, the godly part. Here it says, yet as it is not as I will, but as you will. So here the depravity is opened up. The helpless state of the human being is revealed. Now when we are in pain due to sickness, we know that God, Jesus Christ, has suffered it, suffered for our sickness. In Hebrews 2:17, therefore it was essential that he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things related to God. So we read that he had to be made like his brothers, and he was made like his brother. Now you see that demonstrates the depth and quality of his relationship with his father, with his father. It was very, very tough. It was very, very tough at that time. And then we read that in Hebrews chapter 2:10, that it was fitting. Again, I read that fitting, that God had to suffer. God had to make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings. So then, further, it is in the view of the suffering that he says this three times: if it is possible, take this cup from me. He appeals. There was answer or silence? There was silence. Then he appeals the second time, and the third time there was silence. This silence let us know that it is God's will. You know, when we don't get an answer, we always look for prophets. Immediately we go for prophets. We don't sit and pray, but we go after prophets. But here, Jesus did not go after a prophet. So that is God's will. Then God experienced the most lonely moments, that if you feel lonely, God has covered it. Every member of his team deserted just before, but he was alone with prayer. This is actually for a leader. For a leader, when he will face these things, a leader in Christendom, he will face these things. The leader is that the Gethsemane experiences, what we can learn from this lonely time. Gethsemane is the location where, number one, Jesus had the spiritual battle. Jesus had the spiritual battle. Number two, he felt that he was lonely. Number three, he expressed his honesty. As a man, he expressed his honesty as a man. And number four, he submitted whatever submission is required. He submitted. Finally, he received the strength. He received the strength. So I'll read it once again. Number one, the spiritual battle occurs. Number two, loneliness is felt. Number three, honesty is expressed. Number four, submission is required. And number five, strength is received. This is very much required for a leader. In the Christendom, we always look for leaders who can bring in people. That is not the quality. We are looking for quality people, not quantity people. So that is very much required. Then the last one is the wrath of God exposed against sin. In Matthew chapter 27:46, and about the ninth hour, and he cried loudly, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he cry? Why did he cry? Why did he cry out to Jesus? I asked this question many times. Why did he cry? I know that he was undergoing so much of, but I thought that he was God. But no, he was a man. At that point of time, God turned his face. He had a very close relationship. Suppose we all are having, our phones are all connected with online, right? Can you just raise who's not connected on online? No, not now. Your phone is not connected. No one. The old phone where there is no one. So even me, I am also having, it's connected. One day if the internet is not there, none of these offices are working, right? Correct? The same thing happens to a person who is in touch with Jesus Christ full time, full time. And when you are in deep trouble, you are not able to get connection with God. He prays this word, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the horrific situation in Jesus Christ. You know, I was just looking, pondering into that. And they said that when the body is hanging on the cross, the body is hanging and your weight is falling down, you know, what happens? You are not able to breathe. And you, if you want to breathe, you need to give some pressure. You need to give some pressure. When I came to know that, I understood the meaning of this. It was for you and for me. It was for you and for me. He suffered on the cross. He suffered on the cross. He could not get the breathing. And he had to really struggle to get breathing. So Jesus is the obedience demonstrated at Gethsemane was instrumental in removing the curse. It was instrumental. Then we see that Adam failed in the garden test. The forbidden fruit was a burden for him. It was a burden for him. He stumbled, and all the humanity and the whole of the humanity was born as wrathful children. Now, Christ is our greater Adam. Christ is our greater Adam, triumphed in the garden where Adam failed. He drank the cup all the way to the bottom. He drank it instead of me. Me. Those who are sleeping, just say hallelujah. When I am saying something, you know, I feel that. Leave it. So, he did what? He drank it instead of us, for me. It was a complete compliance, and it has been transferred to our account. He complied it, and it was transferred into our account. Say, my account. It was transferred to my account. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God would have otherwise been directed on us, our sinful nature, our worldliness, and unrelenting self-defending acts. Now, Paul says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He says, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. The world hates Jesus. Jesus endured all the sufferings for no reason. That is why Pilate also said, now the world like the criminals, I want to have the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Why? Because I want that because Jesus hated the world. Jesus hated the worldly system. So when Jesus hated the worldly system, Paul says, because he suffered for that reason. Now Paul says, I want to be a partaker in the sufferings. I want to be a partaker in the sufferings. And Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls us, that one died for all, therefore we all have died, conforming to his death. One died for all of us, and I am died to this world. I want to die like Jesus who died against this world. He did not die for any other reason, but it was a sacrifice for me and for you against sin. So let us all raise up and let us all sing this. Two lines only we will be singing and we will be closing. Just sing. If it is not ready, we will conclude. We will just thank God for this day. May God bless you all. May God bless you all. Pastor. That's all right.
Jesus kicked me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Need a cross, be my glory. Your soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Christ's suffering, the inclination of my salvation. Can you tell your neighbor, the suffering of Christ has led to my salvation? Christ has come to showcase the deep love of Christ. He has come to cancel the legal demand and to absolve the wrath of God. He says in the book of John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. The death of Jesus Christ shall never be in vain in our life, in Jesus' name. You need to get connected to him. There should be no network failure. And when there is no network failure, his death on the cross of Calvary is not in vain in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and appreciate you for your death on the cross of Calvary. We adore you, O Christ. We bless you because of your holy death on the cross. for you to redeem us. Father, we bless your holy name. Surely you have borne all our infirmity and carried our sorrows. Lord Jesus, you have given yourself to our sin, that you might deliver us from this wicked world. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Lord, we pray that we shall continue to get connected to you through the work of Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. And whenever we remember your death on the cross of Calvary, we continue to get connected to you with the help of Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Devil shall never take us away from your path in Jesus' name. You have suffered for us, and that your suffering has become our salvation. On the glorious day, on the last day, we shall not be found wanting in the mighty name of Jesus. We shall reign with you in your kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless your name for your servant that you have used for us this day. We pray, Almighty God, more anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless sister. Bless the children. And everyone, all the family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. As we continue to celebrate your death on the cross of Calvary, Father, we pray that you remember to bless us in Jesus' name. And let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Our service on Sunday morning, Father, take charge and take control in Jesus' name. Continue to reveal yourself to us greatly and mightily in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. For the rest of the year, our programs, they are in your hand. Take full charge and take control in Jesus' name. And your name shall be glorified. As we depart here, your presence shall go with us. When we come back on Sunday, it shall be testimony in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Let us share the grace together in fellowship. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful celebration in Jesus' name.